Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Robin. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm married to the amazing Pastor Vic Sink. As most of you know, he's on sick leave at the moment because he's recovering from surgery on a brain tumour. And he sends love this morning, and his recovery is going really well. So keep praying. We're believing for full restoration of all function and for him to be back up here preaching within a few weeks with his amazing sense of humour and incredible Bible prophecy gift, and just back where God wants him to be. So, but in the meantime, he's recovering, and we've started some rehab this week, which is really good. And thank you all for your prayers, and thank you for your support. It's an amazing thing. We feel the power of prayer, and that's what I want to speak about this morning: prayer. Because these last 4 weeks, it's 4 weeks today since Pastor Vic took sick. And in these last 4 weeks, it's been, we have just felt the presence of God in such an amazing and powerful way. And we have felt the strength of prayer as it's gone up for us. And we feel like God's had his hand, like we feel like puppets sometimes with God with his hand up our backs, moving us and strengthening us. And it's just an amazing thing. But So this morning I want to speak to you from out of the book of Colossians. And it's Colossians chapter 4 from verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. And then from the New Living Translation, I really like this as well. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your word is life, your word is truth, your word is all we need. Lord, your word is a roadmap for our lives. It's directive, it's corrective, it's encouraging, Father God. It's inspiring, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that in this house, as we preach your word, Lord, you, Lord God, go ahead of that word and, Lord, work within the power of your spirit to perfect your word in our hearts and our lives every day, Father. We thank you this morning for open hearts. We thank you, Father, this morning that, Lord, we may think we know it all, but, you know, Lord, there's always more you want to speak to us. And so, Father, as I bring this message that you've downloaded to me, I pray you make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer. And, Father, that each one would leave this place today knowing more of you, understanding more of you, and filled with a desire to walk in you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes when you close your eyes to pray, you feel like you could just stay there forever. It's just the best place to be. But we've got work to do, haven't we? But prayer is the place from which we take our strength, take our direction, and take our inspiration in God. And we get our understanding from it as well, and that's an amazing thing. F.B. Meyer was a great Christian author, and in his book, The Secret of Guidance, he said, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Instead of it being something we do every day, like breathing or eating or walking and talking, it seems to have become like that little glass-covered box on the wall that says, break in case of emergency. It's true that so very often we associate prayer with a crisis in our life, and it's like the emergency box on the wall that we break because it's an emergency and we need that. Prayer is, for the most part, an untapped resource, an unexplored place where untold treasure remains. And as we tap into God and start to really commune with Him, those treasures He unfolds to us, and it's an amazing thing. Prayer is talked about more than anything else, and possibly, maybe just in my case, practiced less than anything else we do. You know, if you're an independent person, sometimes prayer is the last thing that you head towards, because you go through plan A, plan B, plan C, exhaust all the possibilities, and then you turn to God. Because sometimes that's just how we're wired, and the world makes us wired that way. We're brought up to be independent people. Our parents bring us up to do the things that we know are right to do. But really, prayer should be our first port of call. Prayer should be the thing that we go to first and foremost. Prayer should be the filter that everything in our life goes through. And sadly, it's not always the case, but we're works in progress, and we're moving constantly towards that place of, yes, Lord, what do you say about this, Lord? Paul understood prayer and its power, and it was part of Paul's life as he wrote this epistle, and he assumed that it would be part of every Christian's life. You can't live a victorious Christian life if you don't pray. Just like you can't have a good relationship with people if you don't talk to them, if you don't listen to them, if you don't communicate. So prayer is communication on the highest level with the God of all creation, the God who made you and who made me and who desires to have that communion with each one of us. And not just on Sundays, it's every day of the week. And sometimes it's hour by hour, and sometimes it's minute by minute. And it depends on what's happening in our lives. It's also a two-way thing. We pray and we listen. And then as we listen, we pray. So it's having the vertical going up and down like a clean pipe where God can download to us from heaven the things that He wants us to know. But it's also knowing that we can come boldly into that throne of grace because of the precious blood of Jesus, that we know Jesus, and because of that we have entry into the presence of God, the Most High God, and we can just take our needs and just talk to God daily. You know, I find myself talking to God saying, well, Lord, I think I'll just do this now and just wait. And and as I'm hanging the washing out, I find it's one of the best places in the world. The toilet and the washing line are the best places in the world to hear God. Because in the toilet, it's quiet and no one bothers you, hopefully. But at the washing line, you've got your hands up. So you're already in an attitude of praise. You've got your hands up to God. And I always find that as I'm pegging the washing on the line, I just hear from God. It's amazing. Gardening is another thing that you find, that when you're out and you're in the earth and you're trimming the trees and planting the vegetables and doing all that, that's another place where God is really, you know, you're at one with Him because you're in the nature and you're in creation, and it's just amazing. So, you know, this morning I want to look at five particular aspects of prayer. And, you know, there's so much more, and I may not even get time to touch on all of these today because I kind of get a bit led away by things God's dropping in my heart as I talk, so I might run out of time. So I promise I'm going to try and be done by 11:15. I'll try. So five aspects from Scripture that I want to talk about. First of all, praying with persistence. Paul begins by saying, continue earnestly in prayer in the New King James Version. And in the original language, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And the word translated continue steadfastly in its original form in Greek is one word. And that one word in Greek means persist, persisting, adhere to, firmly to, or remain devoted to, or give unremitting care to. And it carries with it the idea of dedication. It's used 10 times in the Old Testament. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the Greek for it, but it's used 10 times in the Old Testament. And of those 10 times, 4 of them have to do with being devoted to prayer. It's a very powerful word. And in this verse, it's given as a command. It says, continue steadfastly. You do it. You do it. In other words, persistence in prayer is not an option for us as Christians, as believers. Two of the most incredible parables in the Bible are in Luke 11 and Luke 18, where it talks about prayer and it talks about the persistence of not giving up in prayer. Luke 11, 5 to verse 11 says, and he said to them, this is Jesus, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And in Luke 18 from verse 1, the parable of the persistent widow. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Men, and in this instance, is mankind, men and women, so it's not a sexist comment. There was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And that's the difference between just persistence because you're a nag or persistence because you are marrying that prayer with faith in God and you're going in faith to him consistently and persistently, you know, asking of him the things that you want. You know, there comes a time where we can stop because there's a time where God says, yes, I'm going to do this, or no, I'm not, or wait because I'm going to do it in a while. But there's a huge difference between a persistent prayer and, you know, it doesn't have to be a long or an eloquent prayer. Who's ever driven in the car with kids? And they say, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Can I have a lolly? Can I have a lolly? Can I have a lolly? And it's like this persistence and you say, all right already. You know, because they're persisting and they're not coming to you and saying, oh, dearest mother and father, because I have great desire to please you and I know that your heart's desire is to please me, do you think it would be possible for me to have a lolly when we get to the shop? You know, no, they don't talk like that. It's not eloquence, it's the heart and it's the persistence. Can I, can I, can I, can I? And sometimes we need to be like that with God. Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, your word says, marrying it with the word of God and what his word says so that we can be praying in line with his will and moving forward knowing that every time we're praying, we are activating faith, we are activating that desire to submit ourselves to God, saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. But Lord, can I, would you, is there, you know, those kind of things that we need for provision, for health, for relationship, for all of those things. You see, sometimes we give up. Sometimes when we don't see an answer to prayer, we stop. We stop praying. We stop believing. And faith and belief and prayer are the three things that we need to activate as we're seeking God for His will for our lives, for that of our family, for our loved ones, for our community. And, you know, as we activate that faith, knowing that God is a good God, His desire is to give us good things and His desire is to give us a future and a hope. We activate that. But sometimes, because that answer doesn't come or it doesn't come in the way that we desire, we give up. We stop. Do you know, I remember years ago that we rented a house when we were pastoring in Renmark. The first few years we lived in rented accommodation. And I remember that I prayed this prayer one day. We were looking at another place to rent because the children were growing and we needed to expand and we wanted to run more things in the home and all of that. And I remember crying out to God saying, "Oh Lord, you know, next time we move, can it be to our home?" And that was the only time I prayed it. I prayed it once and that was it. And it was a cry from my heart. And you know, we saw this rental home and Pastor Vic was saying, "Yes, this is for us. This is great. This has got what we need. You know, this has got the facility to have churchies over and do all of those things as well." And, you know, I just sat there thinking, "Oh, Lord, you know." Well, we didn't get that rental place. And then the house two doors down from us came on sale. And we didn't have any money. And I said, "Lord, if this is of you, that you'd provide the money that we need for a deposit." And you know, God did that. There were two prayers I prayed. There wasn't persistence in it. But sometimes it's that cry from your heart because you know that this is what God wants to give you. And you know, we received that house. We were able to buy that house. And all the while, Vic had been praying for a rental home, not knowing that I had prayed, "Lord, the next house that we get, let it be ours." And God gave us that. And it's not like Vic was praying outside of the will of God because he was wanting to provide for his family. And he was praying according to what he believed was right. But sometimes it's just a one-off prayer that you pray that's from your heart, you know, that God answers. And it's amazing. And, you know, those things are God's business. But persistence in prayer is an absolute key. You see, we're not to live by feelings, but we're to live by what God says. We're to live by faith. And it says that we are to pray without ceasing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 1. Have you ever heard of George Muller? He was an amazing missionary back in 18th century, maybe 19th century. He was known as one of the greatest prayer warriors of all times. And he had this to say about persistence in prayer. "It's a common temptation of Satan to make us give up on the reading of the word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the scriptures when we don't enjoy them, and as if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we ought to continue to read it. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the word, the less we desire to read it. And the less we pray, the less we desire to pray. So be persistent in prayer. Keep at it." The second point is passion. If you're persistent in something, it stands to reason that you're going to be passionate about it. Paul says we should be vigilant and be watchful. Jesus was passionate, and he's our example that we look to in everything. He had a passionate prayer life, and it was something he was always doing. In his book, Quiet Talks on Prayer, I've got some amazing books downloaded on my iPad. I've got Kindle on my iPad and on my laptop, and I've got some incredible books on prayer and intercession and the blood of Jesus and a lot of the old saints, Andrew Murray and this man, Gordon, and, you know, there's so much to be learned. And it's not something books are not something you learn your doctrine on, but they are sometimes a really great adjunct to the Word of God because they share somebody else's revelation about what God's shown them through reading of the Word. So I just want to share this with you. How much prayer meant to Jesus, it was not only his regular habit, but his resort in every emergency, however slight or serious. When perplexed, he prayed. When hard-pressed by work or things happening around him, he prayed. When hungry for fellowship, he found it in prayer. He chose his associates and received his messages upon his knees. If tempted, he prayed. If criticized, he prayed. If fatigued in body or wearied in spirit, he had recourse to his one unfailing habit of prayer. Prayer brought him unmeasured power at the beginning and kept the flow unbroken and undiminished. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would not yield to prayer. And every time we look in the Word and we see Jesus praying, he's praying with passion. He's not praying disinterestedly. He's not praying because he has to. He's praying with passion because that's the heart of Jesus. I just wonder today, this really spoke to me as I was preparing this because of the crises we've been going through in the last 4 weeks. You know, I've probably prayed more than at any time in my life. And it made me reflect, you know, how much different could our lives be if we had that same passion and fervency for prayer when things are going good, when things are not challenged. How much more would God want to work through us, in us and through us, if our prayer life was as passionate and as persistent in non-crisis moments as it is when life's going great for us? Just a question. I've been asking it myself. Pray about everything. Everything. I even pray for a park when I go shopping. Lord, park just by the door. And then I don't have to push that rotten trolley with the silly wheels. Oh, the wheels, Lord. Make those wheels go round. Yes, Lord. Jesus, in Luke 3, said at his baptism while he was praying, these are the things that happened, the inspiration that Jesus gives us as we look at him in the Word. He was at his baptism in Luke chapter 3, verse 1, and he was praying, and the heaven opened. Passionate prayer opens heavens. In Luke 6, he calls his disciples, and he spent the whole night in prayer. Passionate prayer gives direction. Goosebumps, it really does. Too super Spiro, maybe. In Luke 9:29, at his transfiguration, and while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. Passionate prayer enables us to experience the glory of God. I remember when we were in Bible college and I was praying on the floor in our lounge room. The children were all at school and Vic was at college, and I had a free for a class, and I remember praying, really crying out to God at this time, and as I opened my eyes and sat up back on my knees, there was this cloud in the room. I sensed the cloud of the glory of God in the room, and I sort of rubbed my eyes and blinked and said, is this real? You know, have I got just foggy eyes? But, you know, sometimes God appears in his glory into our hearts and he just shows us these signs and wonders. And it's for encouragement, because as his presence comes, he encourages us. He makes us feel the way he wants us to feel. He wants us to feel loved, to feel accepted in the beloved, to know that God is a God who is ever present. He is our refuge. He's our strength. And he's not so far away. He is with us, and that's the glory of God that we can touch. Even in the worship this morning, you could sense God's amazing presence here coming and touching our hearts and ministering to us. And that's the glory that I really believe he wants us to live in all of the days of our lives. Mm. In John 17, in his high priestly prayer, passionate prayer impacts the lives of others. In Matthew 26, 39, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's only through passionate prayer that we can pour out our hearts to God. You see, we can't really share who we are and what we want and how we're feeling unless we get passionate in that prayer with God. Pour out your heart before Him. There's a song we sing, pour out your heart before Him. And that just, yeah, God's desire is that we would pour our hearts out before Him, because His desire is to have communion with us. And in Luke 23, 24, as He hung on that cross, a life that is lived in passionate prayer will enable us to maintain the spirit even in the most difficult of circumstances. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hanging on that cross, dying for each one of us, for the whole world, and not looking at the accusers, not looking at those who were killing Him, not looking at everything that was happening, but thinking of others. And that's the other part, that we've got to be so focused on, that it's actually not about us. It's about God, and it's about His will, and it's about others. Prayer from the heart. Not rote, not verse, not repetition, not like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Pour out your heart before Him. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Passion. Pray the word. Pray His word as you pray. Lord, your word says, seek first His kingdom. Lord, your word says we are more than conquerors. Lord, your word says when we're coming into crisis, Lord, your word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Your word says, Lord, you are my refuge. You are my strength. You are my shield. And, you know, use that word, because the word is a weapon. It's a weapon that we can wield in prayer. And it's not because God needs to hear it, but because it activates the faith in us to believe for what God wants to do in us and through us. You know, it's using the word, praying in the spirit, praying the promises of God, praying the words that have been spoken over you, praying the known will of God, that all men should be saved. And when you don't know what the will of God is in a situation, pray like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. Let your will be done, because God's will is always right. And we may not always know what He wants to do in a situation like what we're going through now. We're not asking why, we don't understand, and we don't need to. Lord, your will be done. You'll be glorified through this. Lord, that in our weak moments, your grace is sufficient for us. And praying with those things, those words that God has given us to pray, because it increases faith, it builds us up. Praying in the Spirit, making intercession in the Spirit. And I'll get to that later if I've got time. I've got 2 minutes left. Wow. There's so much. But praying according to His word. I might have to make this a two-parter, I think. I've got another 4 pages yet. You know, praying with praise. Enter into His gates with praise. Enter His courts with thanksgiving, praise and thankful, and bless His name. Bless His name. Ephesians 5:20 says that thanksgiving is the natural result of being filled with and walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything we should pray, giving thanks as we make our petitions known to God. Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice evermore, or rejoice always. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you or for you. Colossians 3:17 says that as believers, in everything we say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him. thanks to him. A grateful and a thankful and a praising person is going to have a far better life and a far better attitude and live a far more fulfilling life because of the choice to praise him. Despite what's happening, despite what you see, despite how you're feeling, praising him because he's our God, he is our King, he is our all in all, and his plans for us are good, not for evil, plans to give us a future and to give us a hope as we seek him with all our might and all our heart. And that's the power of prayer. We cannot seek him if we don't persist with passionate prayer and touch the hem of the garment of Jesus to bring the healing we need. We can't do it unless we're in prayer. It's so important. It's so important. A grateful, thankful heart. A positive attitude. Be grateful for what you have, not what you don't have. Be grateful for what God's given you. My dad used to say, I used to complain because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. I am grateful that I've got feet. And God gives us the ability to praise if we look to him. You see, if we don't look to him, that song we sang this morning, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. And it's looking to him the way he wants us to. And we can only do that through the power of prayer, through seeking his face, through walking with him, through persisting no matter what's happening in your life, by using prayer not as an emergency box that we break, but making it a lifestyle, by making it a choice that we choose to bring God into the very center of our being, that we choose to look to him from the moment we wake up. Lord God, thank you that I'm awake. You're not finished with me. If I'm awake, you're not finished with me. He's given us another day. So it's to serve him and to do the things he wants us to do. And I'm going to finish on that. And I'm going to probably continue next week. But there's other things that we really need to know. And we could talk for a month of Sundays on prayer. And you've probably heard it all before. But I can only share from my heart what God's downloading to me and what God is encouraging me in. So people of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, be persistent in your prayer. Be passionate in your prayer. And start praising him with a new fervency in your prayer. And part B will probably continue next week. So on that note, let's pray. And let's first of all pray for Pastor Vic for his healing. And then we'll close the service. So Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace in the matchless and the awesome name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you've given us so many examples from your word of how to pray, how to persist in prayer, to be passionate in prayer, that we've seen how Jesus, Lord, spent that time in prayer, the whole night praying for the choices that needed to be made, how he was passionate in every prayer that he prayed. It wasn't just a throwaway line, but Lord God, I pray that you would make us people of prayer. You would make us people of the word, Lord God, that you would, Lord God, activate faith in us to believe for the things that you want us to know and to have and to do, Lord God. This morning, Father God, we bring Pastor Vic before your throne of grace. We thank you for the healing we're seeing, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that the good reports are about to come. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be glorified through all of these situations, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you are his refuge and his shield, his strong tower. Lord, I thank you that that strong tower is you and we can run to you and we are safe in you. And Father, I thank you this morning that healing is the bread of your children and that you, Father God, are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we think or ask. I thank you, Lord, this morning that you're a miracle working God and you're working miracles in Pastor Vic today. But Lord, I pray, Father God, for this church, Lord God, the church family that you've given us to each other, Lord God. And we thank you this morning that we can pray, that we can praise, that we can be grateful, we can thank you, Lord God, for everything you've given us. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. God, I thank you that in every situation you have the answer. I thank you, Lord God, that for each one that is going through something today, and that I believe is every single one of us, Lord, you have the keys, you have the strategy, you have the answer, Lord God, for every one of us. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning as they lift their eyes to you this morning. Father, that you would download from heaven the desire of their heart, that you would speak into their situation, Lord God. Father, where there is disappointment, I pray that you would encourage them today. Where there is frustration, I pray, Lord God, you would, Lord, help them to see what you're doing even in the midst of this frustration, Lord God, how you work character in us through these situations. And Lord, that your hope, Lord God, is downloaded as we walk through these situations. I pray, Father God, for every person in this place today, for those who don't know you, for those who have, Lord, perhaps walked away from you, for those who, Lord, are seeking that passion after you again today, Lord God. Father, I just pray that as they open their heart to you this morning, Lord, you would touch every heart in this place, that you, Lord God, would make yourself so real to them. Lord, let the scales fall from the eyes this morning, Father God. I pray for that one person in this place this morning who's saying, is this real? Yes. It's more real than the ground you're standing on. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus desires to walk with you. And Jesus has a plan for your life this morning. So no matter what you've walked through, no matter how many tears you've shed, God is for you. And as you give your life to Jesus this morning, your life is going to change. Thank you, Father, that you're touching that heart now. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. Draw her to yourself in your love, I pray this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. And for him too. Thank you, Father. Draw him back to yourself, Lord God. Lord, you know who he is. But everyone in this place, I thank you, Father, that you are, Lord God, their God. And that we can, Lord God, draw upon strength from your word. And as we wait upon you, Lord, and we just commit this day into your hands. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.